The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. Jesus said, "In those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake." This is the Gospel of the Lord. The epistle is from Jude. "But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forevermore. Amen." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. With these words, St. John introduces the revelation that came to him while he was in exile on the island of Patmos, sometime during the last decade or so of the first century. The angels had proclaimed a similar message right after Jesus had ascended into heaven. As the apostles were looking on, Jesus was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." That's the message Jesus speaks in the gospel this morning as well. He will come in the clouds. He will come with terrifying power and great glory. And when he comes, he will send his angels to the ends of the earth to gather up all of his elect. When will this happen? Jesus doesn't tell us. Indeed, he says, concerning that day or that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor, and there's a surprise here, nor the Son, but only the Father. What that means is that you and I are in the dark. Not in the dark about what will happen. Jesus is clear enough about that. He will return and judge all people. On that day, creation as we know it will end. And he will usher in a new heaven and a new earth. That much is clear. What we don't know, indeed what we can't know, is when all of this will take place. What that means is that it could happen as early as this afternoon, or tonight, or tomorrow. It could be before the turn of the year, or it could be centuries after everyone here today is dead and buried. Jesus has told us what will happen, but he hasn't told us when. In the apostolic age, Christians believed that Jesus would return within their lifetimes. As we heard earlier, he had said, "This generation will not pass away until all these things take place." The early Christians thought that when he spoke these words, Jesus was talking about his return. In fact, he was referring to the destruction of Jerusalem, which he told about intertwined with these things about the end of time. And Jerusalem was destroyed in the year 70, during a time when people of the generation of the disciples were still alive. Nearly 2,000 years have gone by since Jesus warned his disciples about the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of the world. Today, it seems there aren't very many who expect his imminent return. One of the reasons for this is the scoffers of whom St. Peter prophesied, who say, "Where is this coming? He promised. For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." For them, the scoffers, the end of the earth due to global climate change caused by human activity is of far more concern than that supposed return of Christ. These folks expect the world to continue just as it is unless we human beings mess it up. Even among many who profess themselves Christians, though, the idea that Jesus could come this evening, or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or in the morning, seems far-fetched. Someday, yes, but today, or tomorrow, that hardly seems likely. Now, it's true, Jesus may not come today, or tomorrow, or even in your lifetime. Certainly, all of those who thought that he would have come by now were mistaken. He called them to himself before he came for a final time. But to think that he's not likely to come anytime soon is to dismiss as unimportant what he said to his disciples. Last week we heard him begin, "See that no one leads you astray," and also, "Be on your guard." Today it's, "Be on guard, keep awake, stay awake," and then once more at the end, "Stay awake." That's the point of Jesus' parable about the master of the house going on a journey and assigning his servants to work while he's away. The doorkeeper is to stay alert, watching for his return. If the doorkeeper were to think, "My master didn't come yesterday, he probably won't return today either," then that man won't keep watching and waiting. And if his master comes while that servant is napping or otherwise away from his post, things won't go well for him. Jesus charges you and charges me to be about our work in his absence, to be awake and alert, ready at any moment for his return. Now, it's not that you could miss his coming. No one will. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, John writes. It isn't that you could miss his coming. Rather, it's that you could be unprepared. Your heart weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day comes upon you suddenly like a trap. It will not be good for those who are unprepared, who are asleep on that day. The scriptures tell us it will be a day of sorrow and condemnation for many, that the judgment will fall on them swiftly, and there will be no escape. Anyone who clings to some vague hope that in the end love will win out, that there will be no outer darkness, no weeping, no gnashing of teeth, will find that hope misplaced. From beginning to end, the scriptures are clear that hell is real. And though it was created for the devil and his angels, that people also, to their sorrow, will be confined there throughout eternity. And yet, guilt and punishment is not the only judgment. There is also a judgment of acquittal, of setting free. That's why Jesus can speak of that day with the image of a fig tree putting out its leaves, or of creation in labor, enduring pain but about to give birth to new life. There will be gloom and darkness on that day, but also the joy of new life, a new heaven and a new earth. And that is a joy to which you can look forward. For in a very real sense, you were already judged when Jesus faced judgment day. On that day, he came not to judge, but to be judged. He took your place on a cross, took your sin into his sinless life, embraced your death by dying in your place, was condemned with the condemnation you and I deserve. That Good Friday, when the Son of God died for the sins of the world, for your sin, was a day of the Lord. And we know where that day led: to resurrection, to life, to glory at the right hand of God. That judgment was pronounced over your head when you were baptized. In your baptism, you were united with Jesus in his death, his life, his glory. You were clothed with Christ. You were put into Christ, made a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Many Christians, especially those who don't understand the power and work of God in baptism, miss this point. In Christ, you and I are already glorified. You are in Christ already a new creation. What you are waiting for is to take full possession of this yourself, in your own body raised, or should Christ come before you die, changed to suit life in a new creation. And so the end of all things old means the beginning of all things new. Jesus says, "I am making all things new, new heavens, new earth." birth knew you. But what does it mean to live staying awake, expecting and looking forward to Jesus' return? We heard about it last week in the reading from Hebrews. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Wakeful living involves receiving and clinging to God's promises, which he gives and renews over and over again through his word and in the sacraments. Today's reading from Jude gives similar guidance for wakefulness as we await Jesus' return. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith, he writes, something that happens as you regularly receive God's gift in his word, and as your Savior nourishes you with his very own body and blood. Also, pray in the Holy Spirit, that is, pray trusting that the Spirit will intercede for you according to the will of God, even when in your weakness you do not pray as you ought. Keep yourselves in the love of God, Jude continues, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. You are never more in God's mercy than when you are being absolved in with his words, I forgive you all your sins. When you are hearing his gracious promises of life and salvation, when you are drinking the New Testament of his blood, which he shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Wakeful living also involves having mercy on those who doubt, saving others by snatching them out of the fire, showing others mercy with fear, hating even the garments stained by the flesh. Wakeful living involves letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. There is a final comfort here on this last Sunday of the year. Staying awake is not all up to you. Thank God, because staying awake and standing firm is beyond your ability alone. Jesus, however, is able. By his divine power and according to his mercy and love, Jesus is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless at the end. It's not you who will do it, not your religious effort, not your works, not your piety, not your anything. Jesus keeps you blameless in the robe of his righteousness. Jesus keeps you from stumbling by his sure feet that have trampled sin, death, and the devil. Jesus is your beginning and your end, your Alpha, your Omega, your life and salvation. Trust Jesus to the end, and your faith will turn to sight in the resurrection. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.